Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you.
Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. It's going to be a weird, wacky day. I'll go ahead and let you know this, guys, because we're filming on not our standard day. But ABB, how are you feeling today?
I am doing well. It is Wednesday. It is wacky. And thanks, everybody, again, who joined me for the live. More of you joined in. That was great. We had a ton of technical difficulties with the live commenting and everything, but we made it work. We had some fun. We threw. We almost hit a van. It was real. So it's been a great day. Had a fun week, Robbie. We had an opportunity to go, and it's funny because this has been the week of like weird happenings so far. So this is kind of funny. But Monday, the city of Lynchburg schools reached out to us and said, hey, we have a school like wellness day where everyone gets out for half a day. And so we're like, okay, cool. So me and Hunter and Trevor are like, yeah, great. We'll go teach some kids how to play disc golf. They had like 30 people sign up or whatever. I'm like, great. It's at Peaks View. We'll go play some disc golf, teach some kids how to play disc golf. So we get there, we're in the parking lot, and there's just like teachers around. And then we slowly realize that there's no kids here. This is only teachers. So, which was fun. It was great. It was still fun. It was just a different experience than we thought. We got to teach some teachers and faculty members how to play some disc golf. Got to play with Ken Brand, who we work with here locally. He's a music teacher at one of the middle schools, but he started a disc golf program because Sandusky is like right down the road from their school.
Yeah.
So Foundation and Atlas have donated some stuff and helped them out and everything. And I got that. So we've known each other for a while, but we finally got to play around together. So that was fun. And I had a new teacher call me coach the whole time. So that was fun.
Come on.
But he went from not being able to throw a frisbee to I think parred out at the end. So he did
well.
Let's
go.
Shout out Javier.
Dude, yeah, it's funny. I think there's actually a very real chance that I've met Ken before.
You 100% have.
Because, yeah, like I was playing at Sandusky with Josh and Dakota, and like,
yep.
Then we saw this.
He said that story. He told me that exact story. Yep. That is funny. How the world, yeah, I guess the kids were like freaking out because they watch your videos and stuff.
Yeah. That's so funny. The guy who doesn't live in Lynchburg met
Yeah. What? That's really funny. But hey, that's again the week of weird happenings. But no, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. And I don't know, it's always good. Those rounds. I mean, it's peak view. I shot like 4 or 5 under. I think 5 under. Oh. But I missed 7 birdie putts inside of 20 feet, so that was a little painful. But I don't know. I think going out in those scenarios makes me realize like what I love about disc golf is like, I love the community. I love teaching people. Like I'm not in a position to teach people, but like introduce them, I guess, like that introductory to disc golf. So yeah. That was, I don't know. It's a lot of fun. And there was a guy, Ken's brother, actually from New Jersey, came down. So he got to play and it was cool. He had a Pioneer that was like pretty beat up. So I gave him mine, to take home. And it was just cool. He's a Foundation fan. He's a Robbie C fan. And dude, I don't know.
I'm here for it.
I needed a good, like, solid, like, remember why you love disc golf day.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, dude, it's like, as someone who records content on a regular basis and records content while, like, teaching and having a conversation and trying to do all that, like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but, like, I don't think people realize that when your mind is so focused elsewhere, literally, it's only two options are your body realizes how to actually do the thing So turning your brain off makes putting like way easier. Or there are people who it's like, no, in order for you to find your best putting success, you got to be dialed in even on the easy ones or the inside ones. So the fact that you're like out there teaching people how to play, having conversations the whole time, makes total sense on why those like inside 20 footers were like whacking all over you.
Yeah. But hey, it was still a good time. And I'm really, I don't know, it's just the cool parts we get to do. So, hey, if you're having a rough time playing disc golf, and just take some buddies out or someone who's never played and just show them disc golf, and you'll be like, ah, oh, I remember this. This is why I love this.
Yeah. And speaking of things that I remember and love, you want to jump into today's sponsor?
Yeah, let's go. Let's hear from Robbie from Mudwater.
We want to take a quick moment to talk about the sponsor of today's video, Mudwater. Believe it or not, I'm not the most friendly person in the morning, much more of a night owl, and I find myself often in early mornings searching for that energy alternative, and Mudwater has been a fantastic solution so that I'm not crashing later throughout the day or finding jitters from heavy amounts of caffeine. Now, there are plenty of reasons to choose Mudwater. Some people prefer it for the taste. For instance, you can mix it up with oat milk or honey, which take it to that next level beyond its already fantastic taste, or you can simply choose it for its healthy ingredients. I know the mix of fantastic ingredients with several mushrooms being mixed in for a variety of reasons. I love the cordyceps as it promotes natural energy because, like I said, well, these manufactured things and all the other different energy drinks and coffee and soda options out there do lead to that inevitable crash. And the cordyceps inclusion absolutely takes us so that we're not fearing the afternoon and we can still be productive with the rest of our days trying to get video and content out to you. Because after all, Mudwater is a healthy habits brand. It's built on being a coffee alternative so that you can use the four natural ingredients that make up the primary blend of this drink to help you find that energy you're looking for to get the lifestyle that you're looking for. Plus, if you find yourself on a diet or any restrictions like that, Mudwater slots in perfectly because it's Whole30 approved. It's 100% USDGA certified organic. It's vegan, kosher, gluten-free. It's a fantastic product that is completely restriction-free. Plus, something that's going under the radar is that Mudwater supports psychedelic research, and they have been doing this monthly since day one. They believe the country is in a mental health epidemic, and one of the best ways to help treat these mental health conditions is through psychedelic-assisted therapy. So, Mudwater is hooking up our viewers with a beautiful coupon opportunity. A discount code is available to you if you head over to mudwater.com/foundation. That's MUDWTR.com/foundation, and you can get Mudwater for you for less than a dollar per cup per day. Y'all, this is a steal. So make sure you head over to mudwater.com and all of these amazing benefits can be yours.
Welcome.
Welcome in. Gus, you're coming on the backside of an ad read, so the world is so excited to have you here.
And you like Mudwater, Gus?
Yeah. Are you a coffee guy, Gus?
I am a coffee guy. I'm not a Mudwater guy. I haven't tried it yet.
No, the correct answer is you are a Mudwater guy.
Mudwater's great. Yes.
Mudwater is
MUDWTR Foundation. No, we are so excited, Gus, to have you here, man. Gus, am I getting this correct that you're in Georgia?
I am. Yeah. Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I grew up in Atlanta. And when I say I grew up in Atlanta, like classic, I lived outside the perimeter, but just outside the perimeter. So still Atlanta. Are you Atlanta proper? Like, are you in the perimeter?
Oh, I am ITP. I'm in Decatur, but okay. I grew up outside the perimeter too. I was up in Woodstock. So.
Okay. I love it. I love it. I'm actually playing a tournament in Georgia in a week and a half, down in Griffin. So
sweet.
Yeah, Georgia golf is great golf. Perkerson is iconic.
Perkerson will eat your breakfast if you let it, man. Perkerson, it'll beat you up.
Oh, man. There's so many good courses. Little Mulberry, ERP?
Yeah, East Roswell. That was my home course for a long time. I lived right nearby. I went to leagues every week, and that's another one that'll punish you. If you play good, it'll treat you nice, but if you don't, it won't.
Yeah. Yeah. So that gives me immediate insight. Brad is familiar with Woods Golf. Virginia has a good amount of Woods Golf. But I would say Georgia, because it's like, it has so many courses, I feel like you can really find whatever suits your game. You want short little pitch and putts, they exist. The hard part with Georgia golf to me is that you're driving like 25 minutes minimum basically to get to any course unless you just happen to live next to one. I stoked to hear that. That gives sort of some context there. But Gus, we want our people to get to know you, not just Georgia golf in general. So how long have you been playing disc golf?
So I've owned a disc since 2016. My brother went out to Waco, Texas for college, came back and says, oh, you got to try this game. Fine. Okay. Whatever. So we went out maybe twice a year until about 2019. That's when I started to kind of get a little more into it, you know, had the chance to play more, got more discs than the two that I had. I had a DX Shark and an AVR and that was about it. Then from there, you know, I hate to say I'm a COVID golfer, but that's really when I had the time to start really getting into it and taking it seriously. So my first tournament was right at the start of 2020. And then that's when it kind of took off of like, hey, this is something I can really turn into a hobby.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm enjoying hearing more and more. The two like life stages that seem really the most interesting are like, we are now far enough away from COVID that we are getting people who are like, yeah, I started in 2023. I've been playing for like 6 months. That's awesome. Like I'm glad that we're still seeing new people come in or the stories of, I knew about it and then COVID really launched me into it. So excited to hear that. Now, Gus, let's say we put you out in a field and we're like, we're going to put this basket X amount of feet away from you. What distance can you consistently reach with a backhand and a forehand?
Good day with the backhand, I'm hitting 290, 300. There are days that sometimes the form isn't all clicking together and I'll leave it out to about 260. But most of the time, I'd say I can get it out 290-ish. Forehand, I trust my forehand. It's consistent, but it's not very far.
Okay.
So I'd say, you know, 190, 200 with the forehand if I give it a full rip. And I use it a lot for approaches. You know, like I trust it. I just don't. Off the tee, rarely use a forehand.
Yeah. It'd have to be like the perfect hole that's inside that range, pitch and putt type. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fair. I love the way you word that, Gus. And like, I trust it. It just doesn't go very far because I think a lot of people should have more trust in their forehand because they can make it happen. I brought my like Patreon into town. And I had them throw 125 foot forehands and so many people rolled their eyes at me. Like, I can't believe you're making me do this. And I was like, just trust me, like pick the right disc. And I bet you can throw a forehand 125 feet. It may not land as accurately as we need it to for this game, but like if you've never thrown it, we can't expect it to go amazing. So that's really cool.
That 125 foot range. I trust my forehand more than I do my backhand as far as placement.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm in an open field and I've got that 125 foot, I'm going forehand every time just because the backhand, obviously I can get it there, but the power control isn't quite as consistent as it is with the forehand.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be very curious when we get down there, which of your discs you're using for those forehands. Cause I've got a couple ideas, but the waters seem very cloudy in that area. So I'm excited for you to bring some clarity for us. All right, let's talk putting. Put you on the putting green and we're like, hey, you got 10 putts from 15 feet, 10 putts from 25, 10 putts from 40 feet. How many are you making at each station?
Yeah, putting's a strong suit of mine. If I am 10 out of 10 from 15, if I'm not 10 out of 10, I'm kicking myself. 25, I'd like to say 8, 9-ish. I'm not beating myself up quite as much as I've missed a 15 footer, but 45, it drops pretty dramatically because I don't have a step putt or a jump putt that I trust.
Okay.
So I'd say 4.
Yeah. Are you more of a spin putter or push putter?
Push putter.
Pretty hybrid. Okay.
Yeah. Almost fully push putting. I try and put some spin on it, especially out at the 45, but it's all arm motion for me.
Yeah. 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 And that makes sense at 45, like a 45 foot push putt is a haul.
Yeah, you gotta put some mustard on it.
Yeah. It always makes me, I love Vinny, but by golly, is it like I'll never forget. It seems to always happen to him at Vegas is like, he'll have like a 20 footer that he misses and then uphill and it'll roll back to like 45 or 50. And he's just like, and bang.
Yeah. Yep.
Bro, you didn't even step. What are you doing?
All right.
Okay. So, and that brings us to our final question, which you kind of teased there. What would you say is the biggest strength of your game?
Yeah, definitely putting. That's just, it's something. Last year I took the entire year defining a pre-putt routine just to make sure that it's gotten consistent. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos on, hey, here's some helpful tips. And from those videos, I didn't take any, you know, one person's routine, one person's form, but I kind of took like, oh, I should be thinking about this. I should be putting my weight shift here. You know, random tips like putting your left arm behind your back or further back in your stance. And that kind of developed that routine for me. So last year I went from a mediocre putter to someone that I think is above my field with putting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that kind of takes me back to Brad. You were talking about before you came in today, Gus, we were telling how the week's been going, and Brad talked about he played around with some teachers and missed a bunch of inside 20 footers. And I don't say that to like, I don't say that to like make fun of it. It just, I talked about like you're talking, you're conversing and all that. I'm sure that pre-shot normal putt routine, none of it felt normal, because you probably on some of those probably even still kept the bag on because it was just like, oh, we got to keep going because we're playing slow kind of a deal.
Yeah. Or I was like literally saying, okay, well, you want to do this or you want to try to do this. And this is what these fingers are supposed to do. And then, of course, I miss it. Right. So that's a great example. But yeah, I was pretty much talking the entire time I was putting. So that helps. But I think the positive there, though, Robbie, is like I had that many birdie putts. So I'm like, yeah, I'm making some better choices and being a little more. I will say I was very accurate off the tee, so that's helpful.
Which feel like when you're playing with new people, that is way harder to showcase than like, I don't think new players have still got a grat. Like if you hit like 525 footers in a row, a new player, that doesn't feel that impressive like watching it.
Yeah.
Now doing it is entirely different, but for them, they're probably more wild. Like, wow, man, this guy had 7 birdie putts. Did he even miss those? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's funny too because I know who I am, and I'm sure anybody that's like a MA3 player knows who you are. But like, when a new player comes along and you're showing them disc golf, they think you're like a superstar. And because like hole 6, Robbie at Peaks, I parked it. I was like, hey, and I was telling them about different types of discs. I was like, okay, well, here's like a Halo Leopard 3. It's more understable. That means it goes right. I'm going to throw it here because this slopes to the left. And I throw it and I park it. And he's like, man, you got to just like be the best around. I'm like, I'm not even close to the top 60% of the best around. But it is cool. It is fun. But no, it's cool hearing a really good putter, because I really feel like, coming back to the bingo card, Robbie, it seemed like this phase in people's game, it's like, hey, approach shots are my strength. Approach game is my strength. And it's good to hear that you're recognizing probably pretty early on that, I know you've been playing since 2020 or whatever, but still you're like, okay, I need to really develop this putt game. And that's like the least fun that there is, in my opinion, is just out there and just like bang putts and pay attention to where your hands are and where your feet are for hours at a time. So it's exciting to hear your putting, and like that's come such a long way to you. Do you play a lot of tournaments, Gus?
I try to. As Robbie said, there's a ton of courses around here, mm-hmm. and there's a really active community of tournament directors. Mm. So there's pretty much something going on every weekend. Mm.
Do you do well? I mean, do you do well against people? Because I feel like, do you play MA3 or MA2?
MA3. The biggest reason I don't play MA2 is because that's a lot of the time where the jump happens from short tees to long tees, and long tees are terrifying.
Yeah.
But mostly MA3. And it's a mixed bag. I don't want to say we have a lot of sandbaggers around here, but I've had a couple tournaments that I've gotten second place and lost by 8 strokes.
Oof. Yeah.
But
that's tough.
But I'm going back to you talking about putting. I also got really fortunate, and I changed jobs in 2022, and then my work has a course 4 minutes away from it.
Oh, that's nice.
And so it's gone to the point that I'll go out on lunch breaks, I'll eat my lunch, whatever, and then I'll go and putt for 45 minutes and go back to the office. And that's a much better practice regimen than I've ever had.
So. Yeah. I was just curious, like the break in the MA, for me, I feel like if you're in MA3, the people that are really beating you are the people that are putting like very well consistently. So I was just curious how well, it sounds like you're doing pretty well with your putting, but because I think putting, if you're that confident at 25 feet, I mean, you can probably get to 25 feet to a lot of baskets with the way you're throwing. And that gives you a lot of birdie opportunity, a lot of like scoring opportunities against people that may, like me, I'm feeling shaky at 25 feet right now. So I may get there, but then I'm going to chain out and then not be confident for the next three holes. Whereas you're just going to sink one and be like, okay, here's one stroke, here's one stroke, here's one stroke. So just curious, sorry for the tangent, but I always like to kind of gauge where that like MA3 category is. Cause I think there's a collection of a lot of people in that competitive group.
No, I think that's a very good point with the putting. And I do feel like I gain a lot of strokes on the field with the putting. The issue is that I lose strokes on the field off the tee. Yeah. And so there's, as Robbie mentioned, there's a ton of variety in the courses around here. Mm-hmm. My home course right now, the one right by my work, is Suwannee Creek Park. You know, the furthest hole might be 330 on most layouts.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it's like 210, 220. And those I can get close to and make the putt. The issue is if I'm competing somewhere different, if I'm going to Chattahoochee Point or Kirkerson, anything like that, where the average hole length's 370, mm-hmm. I know I'm not getting there. Like that's a par at best for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'll get beat by 8 strokes is these people who can throw it 370 and make a 15 footer rather than, you know, 280 and hope for a 100-foot throw in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah. Did I get muted?
No.
Okay. No, I was like, I don't know why I can't see it. Chattahoochee Point to Suwannee Creek is such a draft. My first time playing both of those courses, I played them back to back. We started at Suwannee, and it very much, I would say, it's like a hybrid, Brad, of the mm-hmm. back nine of Peaks View.
Okay.
So between shorts and longs.
Yeah.
Like it is, because the shorts at Peaks, it's like the last, there's like 7 holes in a row that are all 140 feet. Mm-hmm. Like, but then the longs, it jumps up and they're all 250 feet. And so it, mm-hmm. yeah, it literally, it's right in there. But I think that there's a little more elevation at Suwannee. Suwannee has some like weird hills and everything. And then there's, you get to Chattahoochee Point, and it's like Chattahoochee Point is holes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at Sandy. Mm-hmm. So when you get that like big swoop around the creek, and then, that's 4. But 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
That's Chattahoochee Point, where you're just like ripping. And this like somewhat open field. There's a couple gaps you got to hit on some holes, but
Well,
there's some mean ones in there. Hole 7 at Chat Point is 2 gaps you have to hit that are 100 feet apart. And so you're like, yeah, I hit the first one. And then you go straight into the wood line.
Whack. Yeah, totally. So,
I also played, I'm pulling this up on my phone. I have a U-Disc score from this weekend. There's a new course down in Milledgeville called Walter B. Williams that was actually designed by Dave Feldberg.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Front nine, there's a 140-foot hole, a couple 160-foots. It is just all in the woods. A couple of the holes have like a 3-foot-wide gap you have to hit. I was 3 down through 8 on the front nine.
Okay.
The back nine, there's a 500-foot par 3, a 430-foot par 3, a 370-foot par 3. And so I finished the round plus 3. Wow. So it's as soon as we get into these distance, as soon as we get open, that's when I go, uh-oh, I'm no longer in my comfort zone.
Yeah. And that, I think, Brad, y'all are both hinting around it, right? Like, and I was going to ask on, we talked about how we have some people that say approaches, but when you know at 25 feet, I feel confident, like I have an 80%, 70% chance of making it at 25 feet. That makes approaches feel so much easier. Mm-hmm. And when you're, because there's way less pressure. I don't have to be under the basket. And you talk about MA3. That's why I feel like MA3 players mess up so often, is because it's like, I can be really solid off the tee, but if I'm not within 15 feet, I'm not going to make the putt. Mm-hmm. And then they're stressing there. And even on the shorter holes. But yeah, then once again, you're coming up to, even if you know that 25-foot window is there, at a 400-foot shot, it's like, I'm going to have to throw my perfect drive, which is still not going to be as accurate because I'm going for max distance. Mm-hmm. And then you add on, I got to throw another basically perfect approach to get inside this range. And then I still have to make the putt. Like, there's just so much more stress on the higher end. So we definitely want to help with that for the suggestion today. I know like, to me, this is part of the fascinating part of where In the Bag evolves as well, is instead of so much time where we're just diving into disc, it's talking through like strategy and strength of your game with people. So we appreciate the conversation, Gus. You have an incredible bag. It is
It's wild.
Oh, it's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of wild in here. So I am very excited. I'm like, it is, let's see, AGL, wild, TSA, and Premier.
Premier, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, so, just took a Premier disc out. My war dove got the boot.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk. Let's start with the Acacias. Is one of those putting putter?
Yes. Yeah. One of them is a putting putter. It's been funny the last year now that I'm feeling confident around the putting green, because every putter I've tried, I'm like, ooh, this is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's me. It's my form, which has been changing. But so the Acacia is what I'm currently putting with. I've been messing around with some Numas from ThoughtSpace Athletics if it's a little windy, but most of the time it's Acacias.
Okay. And one of them is in a more premium plastic for throwing?
Yes. One of them's a glow plastic.
Okay.
It is. This is what kicked out the War Dove. Straight, no turn, no fade. If I juice it, I'll get some turn on it, but I can just, you know, point and click kind of putter.
Yeah. I got to test the Acacia in a proto version, and I loved it. It was beautiful.
It's wizard bottom.
Wizard bottom, and what's the top?
The Ponderosa.
Yeah, that's right. A
little flippy putter from AGL.
Yeah, it does feel good. We have a few here at the warehouse. They feel perfectly fine. So it's, do you feel like they do have a little bit of extra glide? Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. You know, with the push putting, I have to have something real glidey. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that, especially with the Acacias, nose angle on the putts make a ton of difference. If I leave it like nose down, like some people prefer, I'm going to miss it low every single time. But if I put it just a little nose up, that's how I make those 40 footers. You know, it'll just glide all the way there, and I don't have to really worry about it.
Yeah.
I think I can relate to that. And then I guess moving up here, we have the Sea Otter, which is the envy of the wild people.
Oh my gosh. The Sea Otter is the best disc ever made. I swear.
I gotta get you in contact with Christian. He just loves his Sea Otter more than anything. He's a guy that works here, and I mean, he's a great putter, and he can throw the discs. So there's something to that. What do you have you tried any other like throwing putters, and like what made you like be like, hey, the Sea Otter is amazing?
So I've tried a couple. I was recommended the Sea Otter a good while ago. I think it's the first wild disc I ever tried. And I'm also a big fan of Cole Redolin. So when he was throwing them, I was like, man, I gotta get my hands on this. But I'm trying to figure out the best way to put it. It's just best hand feel. I know you talk about hand feel a lot on the show.
That's true.
But it's pretty shallow. It's on the shallow side, but it's not so shallow that it doesn't have glide.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just that right middle ground level of stability to where it's not going to fade into oblivion, but it's not going to turn over if I put it on a little Annie. Mm-hmm. A great example, hole two at that Walter B. Williams, the new course. It is 207 feet straight downhill onto an island green. And so if I fade out left, I'm in the water. If I fade out right, I'm in no man's land. And so I know I can trust that I can put 210 feet of power worth on this Sea Otter and have it just go dead straight with just a little bit of fade at the end. So I think at this point, I'm sure there's other putters that do similar things. It kind of feels like a slightly shallower AVR X3.
Mm-hmm.
But I can just, I trust it, and I'm confident holding it on the tee, you know?
As much fade as an AVR X3 is going to have, or a little straighter?
My glow one, probably the premium plastic one, but I'm the one that I throw a lot is the base plastic one, because it's nice and beat in at this point.
Yeah.
So it's straighter than an AVR X3, at least that one is. The glow one's probably pretty close.
Okay. Awesome. Now, I'll go ahead and jump into this, and this may take us up to the overstable side. You talked about how approaches are like forehand approaches are your go-to. Are you forehand approaching with the Sea Otter, or are other discs jumping in for that?
Most of the time, other discs are jumping in for that.
Okay.
That's typically a backhand disc.
Okay, so what discs are those forehand approaches?
So that depends on the distance and depends on how much room I have to work with.
Okay.
you guys see the bag, so there's a lot of overstable 4 and 5 speeds.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of them I'm kind of messing around with right now, seeing which ones stick. The Baobab is just a hilarious utility disc for me. Mm-hmm. That's a get out of jail scramble forehand roller kind of disc. That's a I've got 80 feet and behind it it's water kind of disc.
Yeah.
That's the my hit it and stick it kind of disc. The Temple is the newest addition. This is one I got recently and have been messing around with. This is I'm trying to figure out the best way. It's the most neutral out of all of those. It's not nearly as stable as the Baobab or the Beach, but it's going to get a lot more distance off the tee or if it's a longer approach than I would with the Baobab.
Okay.
So that's kind of what slot that's filling in for. The Beach is just beef. You know, I have it in base plastic, so I'm sure it could be even more overstable. But it's something that I can trust that I can put it on forehand. Even if I roll my wrist over, it's going to fight out of. And it's going to get a little more ground action than the Temple would. And then the Spruce is kind of the last one. Spruce is the only disc I will forehand off the tee. That is my 200-foot, you know, I know where it's going to go. It's going to go dead straight for me on a forehand. So that is my, like, I don't remember the last time I backhand my Spruce. It is almost forehand only.
Okay.
So.
Do you have a little bit of Anheuser on your forehand?
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. And that's how the Spruce is just overstable enough that it'll fight out of it and won't turn all the way over, but it's not going to fade a ton either.
So, okay.
It also has the hand feel of a zone that somebody sat on, which I know it sounds weird, but I really enjoy.
So like a little puddle toppy?
No, but like it has the wing shape of a zone. Just flatter and wider.
Got it. Okay.
Got it.
So. That is a funny description. And I think that zone lovers are.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously you said it, and like it goes up to kind of like your Magnolia, which your Pathfinder, your Magnolia look like they're kind of fighting for each other's life there. And then your Mana and your Douglas Fir are all the way over on the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to ask this because I was in like this scenario maybe like 6 months ago probably. I'm going to guess that for a while you weren't throwing a ton of mid ranges and then you're like, hey, mid ranges are pretty cool. And then now you're like looking at a bunch of them and you're not really sure what needs to stay and what doesn't. Am I correct? Oh, yeah.
Call me out. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I know there are a bunch of different names, but I recognize this phase without even having to like hear anything about it. I guess what is really, I guess, how far into this are you? Like, are you like a couple months into figuring out your mid ranges or are you like a couple weeks? Like where are you at timeline?
The Pathfinder Mana Douglas Fir combo has been in my bag for at least a year, almost a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The rest of them have been kind of new additions that I've been messing around with. Just as I'm really working on developing that forehand, especially all the overstable stuff.
Right.
And then trying out new courses, I find, you know, hey, I could use something real beefy here. It's windy, or I could use something that goes a little further than my Pathfinder, but not quite a Votum.
Yeah, because I know, especially with like the distances you're talking about, and for those of you that are watching, you can see in his bag already. If we go up, jump up to like 9 speeds, your 9 speeds seem very meticulously spaced out based on stability. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's probably going to be the next step. We're going to make some suggestions for you, so we might just like completely throw your whole world off here. But I think that, and again, not to jump ahead, Robbie, but we'll talk about it in a second. But I think there's some work we can do at the top end to simplify some stuff that I think maybe will help you on your journey to simplify your mid ranges. Am I too far off base there, Robbie?
No, not at all. I completely agree. And looking at this, one of the questions that I have on choosing the manufacturers that have made your bag. And as you're looking at these options, I will say that the recommendation we have today does not come from any of these three companies. One of them, you know, ThoughtSpace obviously being manufactured by MVP. We do have a gyro disc in there, so check that one off the bingo box. But we do you, as someone who's throwing a lot of AGL, and when I say a lot of AGL, I mean
the most I've
this
ever
the
seen.
Most AGL I've seen in a bag that is not from someone who's on team AGL. Yeah. Are you on team AGL?
Nope.
Okay. Do you want to be on team AGL?
I wouldn't say no if they offered.
Okay, perfect. I'll talk to my guys. Truly the Baobab, I have a special relationship with the Baobab because I saw it. I loved it. I got it in a box, or I got it in a player's pack because I played at a tournament, the same tournament I'm playing in Griffin. The guy who runs it used to be on team AGL, and he had a Baobab that looked like he let his dog chew it for a little while, and it was still just as ridiculously overstable. So what drew you to AGL, and do you throw any other gateway stuff? I know, obviously, I guess Wild used to be with them, and now they're off overseas.
So they're actually also MVP now, I think. I know some of their premium plastic is. So the funny story about AGL, first things first, you know, I like the mission, you know, just the whole concept of you know, reforestation and slowing down anything like that. But actually, my AGL relationship started with Jesse from Trash Panda. They do the disc swap every Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah. The Secret Santa. And the first year I did it was, I think, the first year he ran it. And I ended up getting Scrooged. I got nothing back.
No. So
I sent him an email. I'm like, hey, you know, I don't care. The whole point of this was for me to send someone else, you know, plastic I'm not going to use, keep it in being thrown. But I just want to let you know, like, nothing ever showed up. I don't know if you need to look into anything. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I got you. What's your address? And I said, whoa, that wasn't what I was expecting at all. But here you go. So he sent me a disc and a handwritten letter that said, hey, sorry about all the confusion. Here's a Magnolia with the Trash Panda stamp on it. And I said, well, I've never touched AGL before, but sure, let's give it a shot. And I loved it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I don't have it on me. It's in my closet of backups. It's been cycling in and out of my other Magnolia, but that was what kind of started that. And then I started looking into it a little bit. I also grabbed, the next one I grabbed was the Douglas fir. That's the other longest disc that's been in my bag. I love the Douglas fir as just a flippy, glidey approach, mid-range-ish. A little more understable than the Mana. But those two discs kind of sparked this, like, man, this is really good stuff. This is good plastic. It fits my hand well. It's a good mission. I might as well, you know, invest. So I'm definitely not opposed to trying out other brands. I'm not someone that needs to stick with these. But once I find a brand I like, I'm like, might as well explore it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I'm with you. I love that you get a seed from the trees. Like, that's super cool. It's funny. The OGs of Trash Panda will know that he ran multiple, he ran with AGL. Like, I have a Trash Panda stamped Madrone downstairs that is incredible. It's so pretty. And it's on my When the House is on Fire shelf. Yeah, I grab these discs. That's awesome. Let's talk fairway drivers, because we have a disc in there that I sent your bag. One thing I will do on occasion is with my birdie fam, I will send the bag to the birdie fam and be like, all right, guys, let's see how you're doing. What would you recommend here? And they were like, oh, well, the War Bear, he needs something flippier than the War Bear. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, thinking to myself, none of these guys have thrown a War Bear, but Premier Disc sponsored Vlogmas for me a couple of years ago. And so I got introduced to Premier that way and have thrown a lot of their stuff. I had a War Pigeon. I putted with War Pigeons for about 5 months, here for it. Putted with them, bagged them. It was a whole time. So I'm familiar with the War Bear. Please let people know, how did this South Dakota disc end up in your bag?
The stamp. That's the reason. Somebody had recommended Premier Disc that I followed on Instagram. I think they were sponsored by it. And I saw, it's right when it came out was the War Bear. So I saw that it was a flippy 7-speed. I'm like, you know what? I need one of those. And I bought it and it hasn't left my bag since. It's interesting compared to other 7-speeds. It ended up replacing a Latitude 64 Mall for me.
Yeah.
The Mall, similar flip, You know, there's similar levels of understable. The Warbear fights out at the tail end a lot more than the Maul does. So if I throw the Maul, it's going to drift right the entire time, and it's just going to either keep going right or maybe straighten up at the end. If I give the Warbear time, it'll fight out and come back fade at the end. So get a full, I can release it flat and it'll get a full S line by itself.
Which could be exciting.
What's disc? Times. I mean, that's really important.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. If I'm dropping a disc with anyone, the War Owl is coming. And
a War Owl.
It's not actually, like, I'm not saying that as a, oh, it's it, but they would be who I drop the mold with, most likely. Although Birdie Blend existing, the doors are open. Maybe I'm an AGL guy. I find some tree that an owl sits in. It'll be great.
All trees.
But, okay. So that's fantastic. Let's talk about the Votum, and how's the Votum fly for you?
The Votum is just my consistent overstable explorer slot. It not going to have a ton of turn, but it won't have a huge like dump fade at the tail end. Mm-hmm. Sequoia Park up in Canton, Georgia, there's a hole, I think it's 12. It's a dog leg, but it's the world's slowest dog leg where it just fades left the entire time. Mm-hmm. And so the basket's 80 feet left of where the tee's pointing. But if you have something that dumps out, you're going to gut real early and get into just some nastiness at the left. So that's where the Votum will come in, where I can throw it and I can trust that it's not going to just dump, but I know that I'm not going to turn it over. I know that it's going to have that reliable fade at the end.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it reminds me of like a C-Line FD flight just off the shelf. That's basically what you want. Yeah. Like a disc that's not going to turn on you, but it's going to go relatively straight and have a gentle fade out for the last 40% of the flight.
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, Sequoia is so good. I love that course.
Sequoia was where I learned to play, and so I did not like it for a long time. I hit so many trees out there that it forced me to understand how to hit gaps. So
shout out to my boy Zach. Zach plays out there all the time, and then Dylan is who I ended up like playing out there the most, because that's Dylan Cease in that area.
And yeah, so,
I've witnessed a lot of tree hits. Let me just say that. Okay, let's just jump into drivers, shall we, Brad?
Let's get there.
Because we're gonna talk about a suggestion for this, but I've got like this theory in my head, and I had a theory formed, Gus, looking at your bag, asking you a couple questions off air, But I want to hear what these five discs up top do for you. So Brad, if you're cool with it, I think we just let him run for a second.
Yeah, because I'm curious too. Because in my mind, they're not doing a ton different for you, other than maybe like the Omen.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. The Locust and the Construct fight with each other all the time, because the Locust is a glidey son of a gun, and the Construct for me isn't. So that's something that there's a lot of overlap with. The Hyena and the Money Tree, I thought were going to overlap more than they do. My Hyena, my most thrown driver, I would say. I sent you guys a video of my form just throwing at that Walter B. Williams Park again. That the disc I was throwing was a Hyena, just because it's, you know, it's uphill, want something a little understable that'll get up to 285. That's going to be the Hyena. Not super flippy, but not a ton, not basically no fade for me. I would say it's a longer Warbear, but it is a pretty different flight. The Money Tree from AGL, I got that because it was a new disc. I'm like, ooh, I want to try it. I actually got my hands on a prototype, which I don't know how I got my hands on a prototype, but I got my hands on a prototype. They lied to me. they told me that disc was going to be flippy. It's not. So
that's funny.
It feels like it's going to be flippy. Hand feels a Roadrunner, and so I'm like, yeah, this is going to be great. It's, you know, I kick my Hyena out of the bag. It rivals my Locust. I mean, there's a little bit of turn, but it is not understable. So I like it. In issues, like if there's danger on the left, it's not going to fade quite as hard as a Locust or a Construct would. And so, but it is my least thrown driver, because normally if I need something flippy, I'll go Hyena. If I need something stable, I'll go Locust. This is kind of a middle ground that comes out when it needs to, but not super common. And then the Omen, yeah, that one's, you guys said it, that it does its own thing. That thing's just it's board flat, and it is a beefcake and a half. So.
Yeah. I think there was a while where Hunter was trying to bag the Omen, mm-hmm. and his, like, Firebird mm-hmm. alternative slot. So
yeah,
I mean that the thing is, yeah, an anomaly. We know what it does. It fades. Doesn't matter which way you throw it. It fades and it skips. And that is completely okay disc to have. Some people I think are gonna look at it and be like, that's so crazy, dude. Yeah. Like, there are some people who are gonna be like, oh yeah, well, if you're only throwing 290, like, why do you need to have that disc in your back? At utility, probably not coming out very often at all. You probably, like, once every three rounds, I would imagine.
It's a good round out. If I don't touch it.
Yeah.
The issue, like, is when I need to touch it, I have to have it. You know, absolutely. I use it for thumbers. I use it for forehand rollers, any kind of goofy recovery shots if I'm out in the junk. Yeah. So I don't want to use it, but I have to sometimes.
Yeah. My personal in the bag comes out on my channel tomorrow. It will have come out yesterday when people hear this live. But I talk about my, I've got a Lucid X Glimmer Felon that is a mini tilt. And it is in that same slot. And I'm like, it's my least thrown disc in my entire bag, but there are just times where you need it. And my Justice fills a similar slot to the Baobab, where it's like, there are just times where you need it. And if you don't have it, you're going to be ticked. So, okay. So here's the theory, Gus, is right now and you can tell me if this is way off before we dive into, because maybe this will help Brad with, like, as you're approaching and sharing about the disc we tried, at 250, like when you're 250, 260 on an off day, 290 on a good day. So there's 40 feet of difference there, which is a significant jump. Let's just go ahead and say that, like, because even with 25 foot putts, you're stepping up. And if it's a 300 foot hole, now I have to make a 40 footer versus I'm making a 10 footer. That's a tap in kind of a deal. So I would imagine on those days where it just feels like you're not getting enough, that Hyena isn't as flippy as you need it to be that day, because you want the easy distance. The Locust is definitely going to be way too overstable there, but trying to mush, like, your Magnolia or your Pathfinder out to 300 feels like an impossible journey. 100%. So now we're looking at the War Bear to kind of help maybe fill the slot, but you can't really trust the War Bear, because if you maybe yam on it too much on those days, it is going to turn and it's barely going to fade back. But the Votum, as we've already discussed, has more stability. It's not like an incredible, it's not just a super neutral disc.
Yeah.
Right.
So what do you do with your bag as it's currently set up when you're not feeling it that day, because none of your discs really want to help you succeed when you're having it? When you're on, this bag is perfect. It's doing exactly what you want to, everything you know what it's doing. When you're off, questionable. So I really thought about suggesting something between the Votum and the War Bear, or even maybe something flippier than the War Bear. But we literally talked about that last week, was something flippier than the War Bear. We talked about the Vortex and the F7, mm-hmm. Which are two possible alternatives if you want that extra flip. But sounds like I also, and it's funny because you said Maul, and I saw Brad's eyes, like, perk up a little bit, because I literally suggested the Maul as one of the options to the two discs that we actually threw last week. So you could put the Maul back in, and I'm honestly going to suggest putting the Maul in over maybe the Money Tree or the Locust or the Construct or something like that. Like, if you're going to pull one of them out, put the Maul in so that you have that extra turning slot if you need it. So to me, fleshing out the 7 speeds and the 8 speeds could be a really valid, like, filling that area of the bag out because they're just going to be significantly easier to throw. Mm-hmm. Personally, I love the Stalker. I think the Cicada is sneaky good. A disc that is gyroplastic, so you're not stepping to away, that I tried yesterday. The Servo, y'all.
Good.
Dirty. That Sick. Disc is dirty. I threw a Servo 380 something feet yesterday, like literally my first time out with it. And it wasn't like, oh, I threw it on this crazy flex line, Annie. It was a bullet for the full 380, like dirty. I'll go ahead and say it. I'm getting close to the camera for our audio listeners, which is why my voice got a lot louder. I think it's a better Crave.
Bold.
Yep. That's
come at me, gyro nerds. It's so good. So it's not going in my bag, but it is it because I have the Stalker that does the exact same thing. And I'm already familiar with it, but y'all, if I would have found the Servo first, that Stalker doesn't stand a chance. Mm-hmm. So like definitely I would suggest fleshing those out. Now we're going to sound with all of that said, does that make sense, Gus? Does that sound like it resonates with problem days at all?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. That's when something's not clicking, you know, I catch myself going back to bad habits. I can't touch my nine speeds, and I certainly can't touch that construct because I know it's just going to fade out way too early. Mm-hmm. I do rely a lot on jamming out. Really, the mana is kind of my go-to, like, not feeling it today. Because with the mana, it's not super flippy for me. Yeah. You know, even on a good day, it's just kind of straight. So on a day that something's not clicking, I'll just fall back on that as a get out of jail free, you know, take your time, get your head in the game kind of disc.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. So Brad, you're a 9 and 10 speed guy. Yeah. You're starting to work some drivers back in. Mm-hmm. But talk about with this theory, is that makes sense? Is it making more sense on why we picked what we picked today?
Yeah, because I think it does make sense. And I kind of alluded to this in the live stream. Thanks to those of you who jumped in. Gus was also in the live stream this morning, even though it didn't work half the time. Because I think what would be really interesting as like an experiment after our recommendation is like leave your Omen in there, like you said, that's your get out of jail disc, but literally take the Locust Construct Money Tree Hyena just out for a minute. Because I think what we're going to suggest to you is going to like fill that like distance driver like need. But I think both of these discs, and I think I already know which one I'm going to recommend, Robbie, but I think the one I want to recommend is going to be a very like a disc that is like a Swiss Army knife for you that can like get you comfortable with all that without feeling like, oh, it's a bad day. I'm not getting my max distance. So I've got to jump down to my 7 speeds or my 4 speeds.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hopefully that aligns with what you're thinking, Robbie, yeah, for his top end.
Yeah. So what do we recommend?
So I threw the Vision Wave today. This particular one is 168. I also threw one that is 156, just for those of you at home. And then I also threw Z Light Thrashers. They are both 158 as well. And Thrashers, a 12-speed, Wave is an 11-speed.
So immediately, here's where the internet is looking at us, and I can see you guys.
I can hear it.
I can hear the clicks and the clacks of the keyboard going, wait a minute, you're telling this man to take his 9 and 10 speeds out, and you're putting 11 and 12s in there? What are we doing? But I love the Swiss Army knife comment that Brad has mentioned. So, Brad, like, what, how did they, like, these are two, they're distance drivers. They're going to be distance driver rims. How does that feel hand-wise for distance driver rims?
Yeah, so for me, I said this in the live stream too, or the live. My problem has always been, like, a 12-speed is extremely comfortable in my hand. Like, a bigger rim, I have bigger hands, like, so a bigger rim feels better in my hand. But I usually cannot get those discs up to speed, so they do not fly as intended. And I'm not seeing any distance gained with going up into that 11, 12, 13 speed area. But they both feel great in the hand. backhand, they both feel great in their own respect. The only thing I did note today during the live was on forehand, the wave is like significantly less comfortable than the thrasher in my hand. And someone pointed out, I don't remember who it was, but the wave is like slightly more shallow. And I think that's why my hands just feel a little crammed. And like this particular rim shape doesn't sit, like have that seat back in my hand like I like it to be. So for whatever it's worth, but they both feel good, especially on backhand. Like it's not like one feels better than the other. I mean, I guess if I had to give the winner to one, the thrasher, but it just, I like a little bit bigger rim. So that's the only reason I would give it to the thrasher on hand feel.
Okay.
Yeah. And I typically don't love fission plastic, but this fission plastic feels good. It doesn't feel slick to me, which it normally does. Cause it's funny. I'm one of those weird guys. Like I like Z to some people's like very slick in their hand. To me, it's like real grippy. And fission is like the opposite. It's usually slick. And I know people typically are opposite of me, but this particular run of fission does not feel slick to me.
Okay. So you get out there and we're looking for, the goal was Swiss Army. And when we're going to throw distance, let's throw distance and let's find easy distance.
Right.
Did these discs help accomplish those things?
Yeah, for sure. I think wave is definitely easier distance in my experience throwing them, even like the field work today and what I've thrown the wave before. Like the wave just is, it's funny. I mean, it's that gyro thing. It's like I release on a little baby hyzer. It'll like the wave will flip up real easy for me. And it does, it'll turn a little bit, but it won't turn a lot. It just very little, depending on the weight. Now the lighter weight one would definitely turn on me. People saw that today, but this, like even that 165, it'll flip up. It'll go pretty straight. It may drift a little to the right. But it'll have like a nice steady fade at the end, which is cool. Like not a lot, just a little bit. But very easy just to pump out there, get it like rotating and get distance. I was saying I was throwing them like around 300. During the live, I actually went out and measured it because I'm like, man, I may have just told everybody I threw way farther than I did. I actually shorted myself. I was throwing them all like 320 the whole time. And that's with like not trying to kill it. When I did try to kill it, people in the live saw like I grip locked this wave over into like the next like property line. I did throw it like 360 feet, but I did throw it like what, not even close to where I was trying to throw it. Thrasher's great. I will say the only thing about the Thrasher coming to the Swiss Army conversation is like, I feel like I know the Thrasher well enough because I've used to bag a Thrasher that I kind of know like its characteristics and I can probably make a little bit more out of it. But if you're just like, this is your first time throwing a Thrasher, even a Z-Lite one, it might be a little more temperamental. It does. I do feel like you can tell a difference between the 12 speed and the 11 speed on the Thrasher. Like I do have to get a little more of a pump to get it to turn. I do have to give a little more of a pump to flip up. And again, it's probably the Z plastic too. And it does have a little bit of sneaky stability onto it still. Even at 158, it still does have that. I will say you can throw more flex lines because it does have that tick more stability. It's like not as temperamental there. But still, in with the wave, it's going to give you a lot of alternatives too. Forehand, I expected the Thrasher to be a little bit better than it was. Have a little more flip up because I used to forehand the Thrasher exclusively. And it really didn't. It still, like, I give it my forehand quite a bit of hyzer, and it just held that line. It would maybe flip up a little bit, whereas the wave would flip up and kind of carry that hyzer. And, like, even the blue wave, where it was so light, would flip up and turn a little bit on me and then kind of fade back. I actually threw this blue wave, like, 300 feet on forehand multiple times. And that's measured distance. So I don't know. Very interesting. Now, I didn't like it as much. It didn't feel as good in forehand, but like the flight characteristics were better. And then I tried some Annie lines too, just for the people. Robbie, I almost called you Leroy because I just literally read your name. But I threw some Annie shots. I will say like this blue wave where it was lighter could easily be a roller disc. Like it would take little to no effort for me to like figure out what the roller angle is on it. Now the yellow one, which is a little heavier, still like I didn't have to give it a lot of Annie to give it encouragement to like carry that Anheuser line, but I could give it an angle where it would like carry the Annie line and then start to flatten out at the end, which I think is like a really nice shot to have and have a disc that will do that for you. Thrasher was more of like, it would have like an actual like S line. It would just, you know, it would turn, it would hold that Anheuser, but not as long, and it would come and fade back. I did throw my farthest shot of the day with the Thrasher. I threw it like 355, like an actual like straight line shot. But the waves were never far behind. They were always in that 320-ish, but I felt like I had a little bit more control. There's a little less variability probably with the wave. So yeah, I feel like easy distance, wave winds, I feel like forehand even. I know you're an Anheuser thrower on forehand, so that concerns me maybe a little bit. But hey, you may just not forehand it. That's okay, because there's a lot of other backhand shots you can throw. You can throw a straight line that'll like turn a little bit, but it's like a controlled turn. You can hyzer flip it. And even on Annie, you can learn that angle and throw it and get kind of a nice like left to right shot if you like maybe don't feel like you have a big forehand that day. So I feel like, and what I really, I think, would like to recommend or send him, Robbie, I want to send you both of these waves, because I think we can do start a little bit of like mold minimalization. Because I think the orange wave and the blue wave are going to fly a little differently for you. Mm. And that blue wave is going to have a little bit more like turn and give you a little bit more of that understable like feel without having to go to a different disc.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, Gus, but you weren't forehanding any of your 9 and 10 speeds really before anyways, right?
No, not unless absolutely necessary.
So, well, then, and that might be a good point, Robbie. I mean, it might actually, you might like the flight of it then. You might like that blue one. Because you're not going to throw it very hard to get it to flip up.
Yeah.
I figured I wasn't rolling over my 5-speed spruce. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, even though it is a little bit handy, I don't put a ton of power behind my forehand. So
yeah,
that might be a good utility shot.
Yeah. So Gus, do you have experience with the wave in the past?
I think I've thrown a wave once, and it was many, many years ago. So I think it was the first distance driver I ever tried. And at that time I was not ready. So in my head, I'm like, man, waves are really overstable. But then I realized I was throwing it 150 feet probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it probably was overstable at 150 feet. There, no doubt there. Right. So Gus, if we sent you these waves, would you be willing to come on and let us know? I mean, we'll send them regardless. I'll go ahead and say that. But would you be willing to come back and let us know how they fly for you?
Heck yeah, absolutely. Really appreciate it. Yeah,
come no on. Well, dude, Gus, we appreciate you coming on, man. And looking forward to having you on a future episode.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
AGL from the ATL.
Dude didn't even make that connection. What? That's next level, Brad. Yeah, next level.
I mean, you know, if you have it, you have it. That's what I've always, that's what my mom's always said.
Guys, AGL has some sneaky good discs. I'm just saying. And the names are incredible. Manzanita. I know my guy, Tai Relatos. Tai. Content creator, he's doing, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's still doing full-time content creation or not, but he was crushing it. He was an AGL guy for a long time. They did Manzanita Mondays for a little time.
That's
so
fun.
I like AGL cooking.
It makes me think of Minecraft, all the different wood types and tree types. That's what it made. It just gives me that vibe. I wanted to throw the Casia just because of that, but you know, here we are.
Dude.
That was a really interesting episode. It's always fun to, that's maybe one of the most unique bags we've had for sure. The unique brands. And it's always cool to talk about that, 'cause I'm not super familiar with AGL. I'm sure most people aren't. And hey, there might be some stuff out there that you can give a try.
It's one of the first bags that I feel like we've had that in a long time that people could, like, when that pops on the screen and they're seeing it on Disc RPM, they're like, okay, I've heard of the Pathfinder. Mm-hmm. And that might be the only disc that I've like heard people bagging.
Yeah.
And the Mana is gaining popularity. But
like, wait, a hyena? What the heck is that?
Yeah. Mufasa, 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 Mufasa.
Yeah. That's all I could think about when I saw it. But no, I think it's great. It's great to give people a new experience with different discs and stuff like that. And so, well, speaking of experiences with different discs,
ooh,
Robbie, I'm on this trend right now. I've been sending you boxes of random stuff. It seems like
last
couple weeks. So, sent you down a box of some stuff, but I also sent you this month's subscription box. So how do you feel about that?
Dude. So My favorite part about the subscription box is the thought that goes behind the theme, because the themes have been like truly kind of all over the place. Yeah. And that's, when people hear all over the place, they're like, they can think that's a bad thing. I actually think it's incredible, because I would really struggle with, and I'm not like, if a pro had a subscription box where they're sending out different discs each month, to me, it would be really hard for that pro to, and I'm not like trying to throw shade, because I'm not a part of any pro subscription boxes. So I'm hoping that they're this way. But I could just, I think it would be hard for it not to just be like, oh, here's my stock stamp disc. Here's this. Like, and obviously with that pro, it's all going to come from usually one company. Right. And that company, okay, cool. What if I just don't really love half of the lineup of that company? So at Foundation, obviously, we have the freedom to do literally anything. We can work with all gateway. We can have an AGL box. And it's like, we stand in the shade of trees that we have yet plant, or that we did not plant. And it's an all AGL box. All right, cool. Awesome. Like, there's so much freedom that we have. And so you have last month's box, was the 5-year anniversary box. Yeah. So we had Discraft, we had Prodigy PA3s that, I mean, I love my Wizards, but the PA3 is a phenomenal putter that I think forces you to commit. And then we had, what was it? Leopard 3s?
Well, it depends.
No, that was Christmas.
Well, it depends. You might have got a Halo Leopard 3, but it was a variable, like, one-line custom-stamped Innova, just variable. There were, like,
Yeah.
I think it were, like, T-Bird. 8 or 9 molds. Yeah.
Yeah, so... like there's a host of things that you could have gotten, which is also sick that, like, if you have multiple friends that go in on like boxes, you guys can trade around, which is really cool. Well, this month's box, the theme to me is the most important theme that we've had in a box yet, which is point and shoot, field work, trying to go improve. Because we mentioned on the podcast today, going and practice putting can feel really boring for lots of people. Mm-hmm. If you've got that itch, like, personally, I could practice putt for hours every day and not get bored at all. It's so satisfying to me. But I understand that some people don't do that. Field work is a lot harder for even me to get out and want to practice, like, distance field work. I like upshot field work. And so this month's box point shoot came out so beautiful. And the disc choices inside of it were phenomenal. We've got a custom stamped judge that is... gorgeous, and not just a judge, EMAC judge, which is a difference. And y'all, premium plastic EMAC judges are not easy to find,
right?
So, like, you're getting a sick disc that, like, legitimately you could probably sell to cover, like, even if you didn't love it, you could probably sell that EMAC judge on the disc golf market to cover at least half the box, because they're so hard to find. So instantly I'm like, game on. Then you take me to a Katrina Allen Rift.
Yep. Beautiful. That new stamp is awesome.
Guys, it's so pretty and it flies. It's what a Buzz wants to be. What people describe a Buzz as is what the Rift does. And conveniently made in the same plastic that Buzzes are made in.
Yeah.
So we're cooking. And then fairway driver. Okay. Here's where I'm blanking, because I got so excited on the other two. The FD, which is also, obviously, we're big fans of it here for in the back. Spoiler alert, we'll talk about those in a second. But, like, the FD, sneaky good as well. And so right there, if the box just stops, Brad, you're like, cool. That's a phenomenal box. Completely worth it. But wait, there's more. Swag item, guys. I used to, my mom used to have to drop me off at card shops because I was a competitive Yu-Gi-Oh player. So I'm all about the trading card game, all about the Pokemon trading card game. Gotta have them all, gotta catch them all. And now Brixton is changing the disc golf card game, but it's like, all right, cool. What if I, you know, I don't know this pro, I don't know this pro, but content creators you love, gotta be the Bogey Bros. And Brixton Foundation Disc Golf collab.
Yeah, if you're a visual folk, you can see it right now. Here, that's in a hard case too, Robbie. The packaging's great, which is cool. And I'm not going to show the people this. I'm just going to show you the back of the card. But there are there's rumor that there's maybe like 1 to 4 variations of this card, but you'll never know. Maybe you will. So if you're a card collector, might be your box. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll do more of these.
Yeah. Y'all, it was such a cool box. So I love the subscription box. I think it is super cool. It's $45 a month. You get 3 discs. At least one of them is custom stamped. And when I say at least one of them, we've been on a tear lately, because the beautiful part is, because so many people are buying into the subscription box, it allows us to do more cool things mm-hmm. with the subscription box. So, right. I mean, I can think of multiple months in the last 3 months. So there you go. Yeah. That have had multiple custom stamped discs.
Yeah. And this isn't just how we're clearing out our overstock. We're like thinking about these boxes. We're putting them together. You know, like Robbie said, there's a theme. There's a reason we're just like sending these out. This is not just garbage we're trying to clear out of our warehouse. We're ordering everything specifically for these boxes to try to give you the most bang for your buck, make you the value well exceed the $45, and then give you a cool swag item. Those can be, you know, custom Brixton collabs. This can be patches. They can be minis. They can be towels. They can be whatever. So again, if you're not onto that service yet, it's probably time to do it, especially, hey, it's spring and summer. You're going to be out throwing new discs and things like that. So yeah, make sure you check those out. They're one of my favorite things to do. They're a lot of work because, again, we're doing them with purpose, but we're always planning and trying to make the next one better and the next one better. So we appreciate all of you that are on that now. And just, if you haven't tried it out, it's going to be a good month to try it.
Dude, and I even, like, truly, I think about the fact that, like, you talk about patches. Some people are like, oh, patches are really cool. Like, but these patches were dropping like inside the boxes and they're staying inside the boxes. Like,
yeah.
I have my Ravi C key patch that mm-hmm. was in the Ravi C box. And we had a couple, like, we had some extras. And so I have those that I put on my bag. And at this point, the only way to receive a Ravi C key patch is you have to see me in person. And I have to have not given away the patch that's currently, like, my in the bag that I talk about dropping tomorrow. I had given away one of my patches and I forgot about it. So I shot the hole in the bag and there's just a blank spot on my patches. And I was like, what a fool. So, yeah, really, really cool stuff. Speaking of some cool stuff that we also dropped, we have, and I guess this kind of transitions us to what's new in the warehouse, but like, y'all, we just dropped in the bag discs, which are incredible. We have Discmania is what in the bag ended up with, and I'm stoked mm-hmm. about it because there's 2 Discmania molds that Brad and I love together. We got the FD that Brad was just showing, C-Line FD, phenomenal. And then we have some Neo Origins that are also incredible.
I finally got to throw mine, and those are tasty. Those Origins, I saw you throw them too, Robbie, but they're just so great off the shelf. Great run of Origins, great run of FDs. The FDs I had were like a little flip to them already, which is great because I took some of the other ones out and now I'm just like cycling C lines now, which is a great place to be in. And also the other podcast, those small podcasts, we have Grip Locked and Tour Life as well, if you've ever heard of those ones.
Dude, I'm legitimately shocked that there are Jawbreaker Zones still there.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. But they're all beautiful, every one of them. They're all so cool. I love the Jawbreaker Zones because they beat in pretty quickly, and they give you that nice like flip up or straight zone that still has the zone finish, which is pretty awesome. So on top of that, also I didn't bring any over to my desk. What a fool to use what your line, Robbie. In the bag, Tour Life, Grip Locked, and Robbie C minis are dropping this week too.
Come on.
Hey, and then we got one other final custom item on the way. They're in production right now. We'll have them in like a week and a half. Very excited about those too. But hey, we're dropping some custom stuff about every week now, which is great. But make sure you take those minis. I didn't realize it was Robbie until Jason told me, but there are actual UV minis in this batch, which we've never had before.
Okay.
So there's like glow and there's UV, which is awesome. And there's some crazy swirls in there. So grab a mini as you're grabbing an in the bag FD or Origin. Make sure you pick up a in the bag mini as well. We also have a bunch of Gyro going back up on the site. Finally have a not a full restock, but a restock of quite a few molds. And we have Isaac, who joined the team this week. He's been putting up some new molds. Kimberly's at the house putting up molds, in between putting the baby down for a nap. We're trying to get all these up for you guys as quick as possible, because we have Discraft going up. We also have the Ursus from Terminal Velocity, which we've never had on the site.
Yes, sir.
And I will say, my Quake is in trouble, because that disc is sick. So I'm trying to decide, Robbie, if I want to just really commit to like not changing my bag, or if I'm kicking the Quake out. I have not made the decision yet. But yeah, shout out Wes, who has been telling me about the Ursus for like, I don't know what, 2 years now. And I know he loves it. He even gave me one that he died, and I didn't really have a use for that disc at that time, but now that overstable mid-range has become like something I really love. So I'm very excited to put that disc in my bag as well. So dude, a lot of new restocks, a lot of stuff going up. Stock pixels are up now. So a lot of stuff for you to choose from, a lot of great discs up on the site, a lot of great accessories up on the site. So whether it's on your bag or in your bag, if it's good, keep it there. We will see you all next week for episode 97. Can't believe we're there.
97.
See y'all next week.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you.
Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.